Thank you, my brother Donnie. That's what the coffee I thought was for. So I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I have a couple of thoughts that I hope more than a couple of thoughts, but I want to start in the book of Matthew, and I'm going to start in the 17th chapter. And I'd like to start in the 25th verse down through the 27th. And he said, "He saith yes, and when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." I chose that scripture for one particular reason. And the reason is because it was for Peter's sake that he did that. I could take out a piece of money and I could hand it out here and I'd say, "Look, I didn't have this before." But he wanted to show to Peter that he had dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything. So what were the odds of him to be able to see that guy that had lost that piece of money over the side of the ship? What are the odds of that? What were the odds of him to find that fish that went down and picked up that piece of money? You see, I look through my life and I've seen incredible things done by the power of God. They changed my life, as I'm sure they changed Peter's also. When those things happen to us, it's not just by accident that those things come upon us. Wanted us to show his power. Same thing in Romans, where he said, "Have I not created Pharaoh?" And it is the 9th chapter, the 17th verse. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." I am so thankful that God has allowed me to see some of those things in my life. I understand perfectly well why Elisha seen something in Elijah, as I seen in some of those old RLDS ministers, great miracles done, great compassion and great love for their God changed my life. Made me desire that I want a better way of life. Those things are the things that change how we look at life. They did for me. Each and every one of you should have a testimony of how God works in your life, how he's changed your life. You know, I do the visitor center every Friday. And I try and inspire people that they might want to have that kind of relationship. That they might desire a better walk with God. And how that rubs off on people. It's not about finding the differences. There are enough of those in the world as it is. But it is about inspiring one another that we might want that kind of relationship. How it changes our lives. I want to go to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. One page too many. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, this isn't one from Samaria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out and by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, wherewith the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the God, of the Lord his God, and strike this hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, that's kind of interesting right there. Didn't even come out. Because if he had came out, then the glory would have been his. He wanted God to get the glory for this. 13, and his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, behold, whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, But he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given unto thy servant 2 mules, burdens of earth for thy servants? Will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth in into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." Was truly converted. Was truly changed. You know, it's the things that happen in our life that truly change us, that we know that God is part of whatever it is. Changed his life. But had rules in his life. And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little ways off. Now we know the rest of the story, but this part here is what I'm more interested in today. Because God had given him an affliction that he might return to his God. Not even of the house of Israel. A righteous man. An honorable man. A mighty man of valor. You know, we look and we say, you know, I've met many people downstairs that have a love for their God just like you and I. Just see things a little differently. And I tell them, I say, well, we're all trying to get to the same place, maybe just in a different vehicle. It's not offensive. That they might want what I have and what hopefully you have. Alma, the third chapter. Page 315. "And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you?" Those questions right there should be at the forefront of who you are. That mighty change. Most of you have no idea who and what I used to be. And you know I'm kind of thankful for that. But that change has to start somewhere. And to me, it starts with a love for our God. You know, we can always look for differences with brothers and sisters. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. Believed that there was a God before the road to Damascus. And persecuted anyone that didn't believe just like him. Something dramatic changed in his life. To go from a man that was destroying the Christians to giving his life for them. Makes you wonder that there's anyone that God cannot deal with. But there is a way. guy I talked to the other day is not really a Book of Mormon fan, but comes every now and again on Fridays. And said he died. Seen the Lord. Said he'd seen there was people there that were of all kinds of religions. He got to come back. He's in a wheelchair. And so he said to me, he says, you know, I just preach Christ. But I said, there's so much more. I want to go over the page. And it's the sixth chapter of 2 Kings, and I think I've said it before, but it's the first verse. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. That's an interesting scripture. My wife said, I'm not supposed to say those words. Those were the men of God. Behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. The standard of God. And these were supposedly the men of God. And so if you go a little further on, do we understand the spiritual side of things? And I say no. For the most part, people are terrified of that side because of the lack of understanding. So I'm going to go to the 15th verse of that same chapter, and it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? How shall we do? We've got this army around us. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. He's looking at Elisha and he says, it's just you and me. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He's seen that. Can you imagine having that ability to see those things? Can you imagine being like the Nephites, like Ammon, and those people having that kind of experience? That it changed their life in such a way that their life meant nothing to them. Can you imagine having that kind of experience? Those are the things that change who we are. Those things changed me. I seen in those old RLDS ministers a love and a passion for God. A dedication. That no matter what the cost was to follow Christ as they understood him. You know, I remember my brother Donnie one time, we had fellowship lunches here every Sunday afternoon. And I seen some things that I wasn't really proud of as far as our church. People would come week after week and they wouldn't bring anything. And there were others that bought more than their share. And I thought to myself, the guy that went to Africa, that preached the gospel as he understood it, You know, because we have a lot of pride. As he understood it, gave up his life for Christ as he understood it. You know, you're going to say that he doesn't go into heaven before you do. You know, we have to look at our lives and look at those things in ourselves to say, am I really doing enough for my Lord? We judge by our own yardstick, falls way short of what the Lord has for us. I sometimes wonder whether I do enough for myself as far as my work for the Lord. Try never to say no. It says in the Book of Mormon that we're even at that, we would be unprofitable servants. It's our hearts that he wants more than anything else, our desire to serve him. When you met your husband or your wife, you know, you couldn't spend enough time with him. You wanted to know everything about him. Love thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength. We sometimes just go on to the next one, love thy neighbor as thyself, instead of getting that first one right. That God comes first in our life, first and foremost. I was telling a sister today that I forced my wife's hand in some ways, when we were dating, I told her, I said, well, my religion is important to me. If it's not important to you, you know, there's no point in going any further. She was baptized before we were married. And in some ways, I felt like I had taken her choice away from her. Just a personal thing. Because it was so important to me. Like Naaman, found how important it really was. Started out a selfish thing that he wanted to be cleansed. Each of us has a separate story of how God has touched our lives and changed our lives. And so, the importance of that kind of relationship. You know, Paul, Acts, I'm going to run out of time. I'm only going to read, this is after he was blinded on the way to Damascus, 16th verse. Actually, I'll read two. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, when we become Christians, we just think, you know, it's going to be great. The Lord's going to pour out his spirit upon me and, you know, it's going to be a great life. That's not true. The trials that come before you are sometimes pretty great trials. They truly change the nature of who you are. I want to go to first chapter of Job. And this is a conversation that's going on in heaven, right? Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about all that he has, all his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Of course he had considered him. And then he says something really interesting. "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thine power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Did Satan have to comply? Of course he did. Had no power over him unless God gave it to him. And so at the end of that chapter, 22nd verse, and it said, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." But it's interesting that God's description of Job was a perfect man. It wasn't Satan's, wasn't anyone else's. That was God's description. But then you go over to the third verse of the second chapter. And the Lord said, said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And then it says something really interesting. "And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Who said that? That was God. That's a hard sell. That God allowed this to happen to Job, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, right? That's a hard sell. You think it changed Job? Of course it did. So I want to go over here to the 12th verse of that same chapter. "And when they lifted," and this is his three friends coming, right? "And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Of course it changed him. Those changes in our lives are very important. Because we're no longer set on ourselves. Because we know what the world can do to us. That's why I say, truly had to change Job. For myself, wasn't any different. Most of you guys that grow up in church or have been in church most of your life, you don't understand that. I didn't grow up in any church. Job did. He knew who God was. But when you strap on that saddle and you desire to follow him, it's not that nice, easy path. It's that straight line across that field that's just been plowed or turned over or whatever. It's uphill, it's downhill, it's not easy. It wasn't meant to be. But you understand what it is that to lose that old man, truly changes the nature of that beast. You know, Paul on the way to Rome, go back to Acts. And you know, Paul wouldn't be the guy, kind of guy that I'd want to go fishing with. Love to go fishing, just haven't done it in a long time. Chapter 27. I'm going to start, I think, in the 10th verse. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also to our lives. And so, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Who's in charge? It's the owner of the ship and the captain. And because the haven was not commodious to winter and the more part advised to be depart, thence also, if they by any means might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete and lieth towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, they let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used help undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, and next days they lightened the ship, and the third day they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to be gained this harm and lost. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, must suffer many things for my name's sake. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew nigh unto country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast out 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colour, as though they would have cast out anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day, and ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for the health, for there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God and presented of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls, 16 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore unto which they were minded if it were possible to thrust the ship. And when they had taken up the anchor, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made towards shore. And falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remaineth unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some of boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Lots of believers in. You know, who was in charge before they started that journey? It was the captain and the owner of the ship. When they got done, Paul was. An instrument in God's hand. If you get a chance, read that 28th chapter, because the island wasn't just a coincidence either. When that viper stuck on his hand, you know, God wanted them people to see that he was going to do a work there. What kind of an example do we set for those that are around us? That God has a work for us, no matter where it is. And yet, most people are satisfied doing nothing. My brother Lauren used to tell me, he'd say, people sit in church and they would like the Spirit of God poured out upon them like a pitcher of water. You have to want to work for it. You have to want it for yourself. That means that you want to serve him, and no matter what the capacity is. You know, I tell those people down in the visitor center, you know, why we don't believe in prophets, or I shouldn't say prophets, that it's not a priesthood appendage. I use that second chapter of Luke because Anna was a prophetess. Served day and night in the temple, that God had given her a great blessing because of the dedication and the love that she had for him. If you want those things, they are there for you. It's just you have to desire that kind of relationship, because it is about a relationship. It's about a desire to serve God. It's about a desire to know who he is, to study his word, to have that kind of change in your life. Doesn't matter where you start, but you have to start. I want that kind of relationship with my God. That those old guys that taught me those things, that I've seen in their lives, like Elisha seen with Elijah, a dedication and a love, and practiced it. Didn't have all the right answers. It's not about that. Those come later on, little bit by little bit, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's attitude. So I pray that you receive something out of this message. I don't really write anything down anymore. Lord just gives me a starting point, and that's usually where I start it. But I'm thankful for you to be here. I hope and pray that the Lord is with you. I have a love for each and every one of you, and you know I do. But we all have a unique story and a unique way of explaining things. I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to be here today. And so I just praise my God and thank you for each and every one of you that came and for the love which we share, which is your Son. Thank you very much. God bless.